Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Okay, let's just, for now, let's, I know you probably just did this, but for me, let's chant 16 and 17. So this is the two that we'll be finishing off today.
Sattva shuddhya vishuddhi
bhyam.
Maya vidye chate mate.
Maya vidye chate mate.
Maya bimbo vashi kritya.
Maya bimbo vashi kritya.
Tamsya sarvajna ishwaraha.
Tamsya sarvajna ishwaraha.
Avidya vashakastvanya.
Avidya vashakastvanya.
Tadvai
chitriya dhane kadha. Sakarana shariram syat.
Prajnyastatra bhimanavan.
Prajnyastatra bhimanavan.
So in 16, we went over pretty fairly. There's a couple more things to say about it, a couple more technical terms I wanted to bring up here. So sattva shuddhi, maya. Avishuddhi, sattva avishuddhi, right? The sattva shuddhi maya, avishuddhi, sattva avishuddhi is avidya. And so these two terms, maya and avidya, have to do with, remember, the maya has a twofold capacity, avadana, vikshepa. The avadana has that covering power, which once the creation is manifest, for all of the jivas, what is maya for Ishwara, just the vikshepa, the projection of the creation with no sense of limitation or identification with any type of nama-rupa. So that's just the sattva. The abhimana is only with the sattva, which means like, this whole creation is known. The whole creation reflects my own being, consciousness. But for the jiva, the avarana is there because of the limited nature of the jiva upadi, being subject to tamas and being where the sattva is mixed with tamas and rajas. Just think of the sukshma sharira. The subtle body means the sense organs and the mind are sattva. But the prana and the karmendriyas, the organs of action, are rajas, and the physical body is tamas. So these things are all mixed together, the sattva, rajas, and tamas, and all forming one entity. And of course, the sattva and rajas are very limited, obviously limited within the creation. And because that ajnanam is there, you know, I take myself to be this unit, right? So there's a abhimana there. So after having said this, that defining the maya really as the vishuddha sattva, sattva pure sattva, so that Ishwara is just reflected, the consciousness, the sattva is just reflected in that, so there's no limitation at all from the standpoint of the upadi. Whereas for the jiva upadi, there's that ajnanam, and so the same reflection is there, but it's limited by the contaminated the sattva that's mixed with the rajas and tamas in terms of the stula sharira. So it creates the Maya from the standpoint of the Jiva. That's the avarana aspect of the Maya, the avidya. So he says, in the next line, Maya bimbaha vashikritya tam syat sarvajnaha sarvajnaha ishwaraha. The Ishwara is what? So here, the Maya bimba. Bimba is in the pratibimba, is really the Maya, or the sattva. The bimba is the thing that's being reflected. So that's the chidatma, the conscious being, which is the bimba of the Maya, right? The thing that is actually reflected in the Maya, not just the sattva, but the consciousness itself, which is the bimba there in the Maya. So that, this is where we need to bring in other terms, and just give me that there. Maya bimbaha vashikritya tam. So consciousness, the chidatma, Brahman, you know, being really the one who is there as the self of the Maya. So you take this two things, that actually Atma, the self, which is reflected in the total Maya, vashikritya, having that in its hands, vashikritya means having that Maya under its control. Sarvajnaha Ishwara is called Sarvajnaha. That is Ishwara, who is called Sarvajnaha, the one who has all knowledge. Because there's no limitation at all to the experience, only identification with sattva. And so the whole Maya Upadi is his form, so to speak, his mithya form, because there's no ajnanam there either. There's no ajnanam at all, because there's no limitation. There's no limitation in terms of knowing who I am, knowing what the creation is, what the reality of everything is. And there's no blockage in terms of ajnanam or any type of covering to have any type of ignorance in reference to the whole Maya Upadi and all the jivas in it. That is Ishwara. Now, what I wanted to bring in here is two words. That, let me say, consciousness as though has, and I'm not going to say has, if we say consciousness, the conscious one who is the bimba, the actual consciousness, which is there reflected in the Maya, right? So that bimba, that is the chidatma. That chidatma has this Maya under its control. So I want to explain what that means. We haven't used these terms, or I haven't used them for a while, at least in this course I haven't. So, when we talk about Ishwara as the creator, or as the one who is the Lord of the whole creation, and then we talk about Ishwara, or the Atma, the self, having the whole Maya under its control, held in its hands. Vashikritya means it's held in my hands. I have it under my control. So now, there's two words that come up here. One word is upadana karanam. The upadana karanam is the material cause of something. So when we want to say, what is the upadana karanam, the material cause of this creation? Right? So there's going to be two aspects. So we did talk about this, but we haven't talked about nimitta karanam, which comes into this. So just now, for upadana karanam, what is the cause of this creation? When we say upadana karanam, we mean the material cause. So, like, for instance, the material cause of the pot is clay. That's the material cause. In fact, we use this clay pot now in a little bit different way. The material cause of the pot is clay. So say if you have a potter's wheel and you put a lump of clay on it, that is the material cause that's going to become, right, the pot. So that's what we mean by material cause. What is this creation? What is essentially its being, its substance? And so the material cause of the creation, in terms of its very being, is the Satchitatma, is Brahman. Satchit Ananda, the Satchit Ananda Brahman. That is what is actually here as the Adhishtana of this Mithya creation. But it's a different kind of Upadana Karana. It's a different kind of material cause. Because this material cause, as Brahman, doesn't go in through any type of modification whatsoever to be the material cause. It's not like at least with the clay, you know, you have this lump and you shape it into a pot. So there's something going on with the clay, even though the clay doesn't lose its clayness. Here, there is nothing going on. There is no shifting or changing for consciousness. Consciousness is, your conscious being is beyond name and form. Name and form, it's the luminary of space itself. So from the standpoint of consciousness, it doesn't even have sense organs. Sense organs, you know, or even any kind of knowership requires the creation. Even for Ishwara, from the standpoint of Brahman, there is no creation. You need, for Ishwara to be Ishwara, it's Brahman, which is just conscious being, which is the Sat-Chit that everything in the creation enjoys, and that's what makes it the Upadana Karanam, the material cause, because in the end, what is actually here for everything that we experience is conscious being. So in that way, it's the material cause. But it's a material cause that does not go through any type of transformation to become this creation, right? And so we call it, instead of just Upadana Karana, we say Vivarta Upadana Karana for Brahman. Vivarta means that this material cause is unique in that it's Vivarta. It doesn't transform or change in any way. So remaining exactly as it is, it is the material cause of this creation in the sense that everything in this creation depends in the end on the existence, the noun existence, not an adjective, the existence, the being, which is consciousness, infinite consciousness being. And that is the common denominator, the material cause of everything that we experience as Vivarta, the material cause that doesn't go through anything, any type of modification. But then what is the material cause of all of this, which goes through endless modification? And so we say Maya is the material cause, but what is its name as material cause? It still gets the Upadana Karana. Maya is the Upadana Karana, is the material cause, but it's not Vivarta, it's Parinama. So Maya is the Parinama Upadana Karana, means it's Maya, the Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, that manifests as the whole creation. It comes out of space, air, fire, water, earth, and then the space, the space has a Sattva, Rajas, Tamas element, etc. We're going to go through all of this again that we did in Panchadashi, in Tathagata. So now we have this other word for material cause. We have that which is responsible for the display of this creation. That is Maya. So Maya as the material cause is still Nitya, but it's called Parinama Upadana Karana. Parinama means that which transforms. A Parinama is something that goes on transforming, goes on changing. So the Parinama Upadana Karana versus the Vivarta Upadana Karana. Vivarta Upadana Karana. I'm saying these quite a few times because I remember with Swamiji for the whole many years that I was with him, these words were rolling off his tongue continually. Upadana Karana, Vivarta Upadana Karana, Parinama, the Maya is Parinama Upadana Karana. Upadana Karana means material cause. I don't know. So this is an important term. It comes up again and again and again. But it's not, there's something more than just Upadana Karana. Whether you're talking about the Vivarta, the Brahman that doesn't go, just remains as the conscious being which the whole creation enjoys, the me. I am the Vivarta Upadana Karana, the entire creation is conscious being. And then the Maya, the Parinama Upadana Karana is Maya, that which projects, that's Mithya Maya that projects this whole creation, which has me as its truth, as its adhishtana. These are just dealing with the Upadana Karana, but who is the creator? Here's that we've talked about what there is in terms of the material cause, but who is what we call the efficient cause? So we have the material cause and the efficient cause. Why it's efficient cause? It just means the one who's responsible for the creation, the creator. So the material cause, the efficient cause. In Sanskrit, the efficient cause is called the Nimitta Karana. The efficient cause means the one who's creating whatever is to be created. So the example we use for that, just to utilize these terms, say if the, so we use the pot maker. Say if you have a pot maker. You've got the potter. You've got the instrument that the pot maker uses, the rotating wheel. Then you have the lump of clay on top of it. Okay. And so this lump of clay is the upadana kadana. And it itself is not going to turn itself into a pot, right? Because it doesn't enjoy consciousness. It's not a conscious entity that can turn itself into a pot. It needs a conscious entity, conscious being, to utilize this unconscious material, right, this inert material, to make it into a pot. So in this instance, which is really what we're used to in the creation, there's the pot maker, the nimittakarana, the creator of the pot, and then there's the material of the pot, right? So you have the upadana karana, the material cause, and the nimittakarana, the efficient cause, the creator of it, right? The one who has consciousness, intelligence. So we are used to these two being quite separate. There are some examples that show a unity between the two. Like, for instance, one example that is used in the Shastra is a dancer who is using her body, the upadana karana, to do the dance, right? And so in this case, the nimitta karana and the upadana karana are together, right? Because the upadana karana, you know, is enveloped in consciousness, and it has a buddhi, it has a brain, it has a buddhi, you know, and so it is able to, it wields the maya, so to speak, and is able to do the dance. Okay. That's a beautiful example that, in that example, the nimitta and the upadana karana are the same, you know, what we call karya karana sangata. It's a little too much Sanskrit, but let me just translate it. We're going to make a vocabulary list. Karya means effect. Karana means cause. Sangata means a group of things coming together. So when we say karya karana sangata, we're talking about the sukshma sharira and the stula sharira. The subtle body and the physical body. The subtle body with its sense organs and mind and organs of action and the pranas all are contained in the subtle body. Because of karma, that subtle body is now being called the karana in reference to the karya, because the subtle body goes on taking bodies based upon its karma, and so the karya is actually the effect. The karana is the sukshma sharira, the karya is this body that is an effect, is brought about because of your karmas. So often Swamiji will be using this term a lot also, the karya karana sangata. So this collection of all of these parts together, the subtle body, the physical body, all of the sense organs, and all of the components that make you into me, this jiva, this body-mind sense organs conglomerate. The sangata means this conglomerate of all these things put together. So this karya karana sangata, this body-mind sense organs, it involves the material, but it also involves consciousness. And so the dance is a good example of that. So this body-mind sense organs, using the material, which is the body-mind sense organs, and the intelligence that is there because of the consciousness reflected in the sattva, really, it is able to create and do a dance using the material of the karya karana sangata, of this body. So now, so we have this nimitta karana and upadana karana. So here, in reference, now let's take a look at it, this usage in terms of the manifestation of the entire creation. There is the material maya, which is responsible, is the parinama upadana karana, because it is maya itself that comes into manifestation. Then there's the nimitta karana. The nimitta karana, or Brahman, let's do Brahman, and then Brahman, so we've got the parinama, with the parinama upadana karana, the material cause that comes into manifestation, going through so many modifications. Parinama means modifications. So that Prakriti modifies, you know, to become this whole creation. It has for its adhishtana, Brahman, which doesn't modify at all. Brahman is the very truth of the entire creation. It's the Sat-Chit. It is what is actually here. Maya, Mitya, Maya, which is Mitya, it has no being of its own. Its substance is Brahman. But Brahman, so this is my Brahman, you say, this is my Maya. Yeah, this is my expression. But I don't go through any change whatsoever to become that expression. So say in reference to your dream and your imagination, if I ask you to, you know, imagine an ocean scene, boom, there it is. It comes from me, but I don't become the ocean. You know, the pot moves, goes through things to become the clay and to become the pot. But I don't become this creation that I imagine or that I dream. Or I don't become a vritti or a thought that I think about, right? They enjoy my being. I am their Sat-Chit, but I haven't changed to become them. And it really doesn't matter what it is. This is good to understand in reference to the imagination, because the imagination is so such a good drishtanta for this creation. I'm my own Ishwara of the imagination. You know, so it's a good drishtanta for the darshtanta, which is Brahman. And this creation coming from, sustained by, and coming back into Brahman. So here, in reference to this creation, this Sat-Chit Atma reflected in the Maya is what we call the Nimitta Karanam. Brahman as the Vivarta Upadana Karanam, the material cause that goes through no change whatsoever, that is not the Nimitta Karanam. How can it be? It never does anything. From its standpoint, there's not even any creation. So it's certainly not the Nimitta Karanam. It is only Brahman with Maya. Brahman with this incidental attribute that belongs only to it because there's nothing else beyond Brahman, you know. It's Brahman with Maya that becomes the Nimitta Karanam. And so you can say Ishwara is the Nimitta Karanam. Because what is Ishwara? Ishwara is Brahman with Maya. That's what Ishwara is. If we're just looking at Brahman as pure consciousness, as what is actually here and not Mitya, because Ishwara is as much Mitya as the Jiva, or as anything that exists within time and space. Anything Maya is Mitya. Mitya means it depends 100% on something else for its adhishtana. Adhishtana means what is actually there, you know? And so it's the Sat-Chit Atma, it's the self that is actually here, that doesn't come into being and go out of being. Every experience that we have, the entire creation and every experience that we have comes into being and goes out of being. It has no being of its own. For how can it come into being and go out of being if it actually is being itself? It's not. But as it's whenever it's here, it enjoys being. The being, which is myself. I am the adhishtana of this whole Maya creation. And so that means that Maya, as Ishwara, is not only the looking at just Brahman as the Vivarta Upadana Karana going through no change whatsoever, or as Maya, as the Parinama Upadana Karana, Maya modifying to become this. Where is the conscious being in all of this? What is the conscious being? So we say Ishwara is the conscious being from the standpoint of Maya. Ishwara is the conscious being because Maya belongs to Brahman as an incidental attribute, and Brahman is conscious being. And so the whole Maya Upadhi must enjoy conscious being. And that's why we call this Maya Upadhi, or Brahman, with the Maya Upadhi, especially in unmanifest condition, we call it Ishwara, as the one who is Sarvajnaha, the one who has all knowledge. And so it is this conscious being that we call Ishwara that wakes up, that comes, that the creation comes, and metaphorically it wakes up, the creation is here, you know, and it resolves the creation after millions of years, and it goes on like that endlessly. We can call it the breath of Bhagawan sometimes, you call it like breathing. Or in some metaphors, we call it like the day of Brahman, the day of Brahmaji. where Brahmaji wakes up at like 4 in the morning, you know, and then slowly, you know, beautifully goes through the day, but it starts to get afternoon, you get a little sleepy, a little tired, and then at nighttime, it's here we are right now, this is us, in Kali Yuga, you know. So it goes through the cycle, you know, and then it goes into unmanifest condition again from beginningless time. These are called the different kalpas. The goes through the four yugas, resolves, goes through the four yugas, resolves. And there's more complexity to it, and I say it in the most simplest form. But what we're talking about is not something which is inert, because the upadana karana, I mean the material cause itself, is consciousness. Maya has no being. It's mitya. Maya has no being apart from consciousness. So all we have here is a conscious being. It's like saying, okay, there's you and your mind. You are the Satchitatma, and you have a mind. Okay. Because I say that because that's similar to you being Ishwara. Ishwara, we don't say, we can liken Ishwara to an infinite mind. Even though we don't say it is an infinite mind, because it is an infinite upadhi that reflects consciousness, and it's a little bit different than your mind. But say you just imagine that all there is for you, all that exists is jiva srishti, means the thoughts and feelings and emotions and things that come into manifestation. There's the Satchitatma, which is yourself, and this mind that is capable of everything that it does. But there is no stula sharira. There is no stula. So that would mean that whatever is coming into manifestation, right, you are its karta in a sense, because it comes from you, is sustained by you, resolves into you, and you yourself recognize it for exactly what it is. It is a Maya. It is your Maya Upadhi. It is your Maya Upadhi, not somebody else's Maya Upadhi. You know, and you can project it and withdraw it. There's some sense of kartritvam in a limited way. We have to put that part aside and just recognize that you are, if there's going to be an as-though karta, it's going to be you, the conscious being, with this Maya at your disposal, you know. So we say this vashikritya maya. This mayam tam, this vashikritya mayam, this maya is in my hands. Means it belongs to the conscious being. So Ishwara is Brahman consciousness with this maya, with this maya, which when it's in actually just unmanifest condition, in that causal condition, we call that Brahman with this Maya is Ishwara. And Ishwara brings the creation into manifestation, sustains it, and resolves it. So we attribute this type of activity to it. He brings the creation into manifestation. But I think more accurately is that this infinite conscious being comes into manifestation, sustains itself, and resolves according to the karmas of the whole. So it's not like Bhagawan is there as kind of a little mind in this infinite creation, say, well, do you think it's time to manifest now? Or it doesn't require, Bhagawan doesn't have a separate buddhi amidst the whole thing. The whole thing is an expression of knowledge, is an expression of the self. But because it's a conscious being, we say nimitta karanam. And then amid the karanam, it's not just Brahman by itself, it's not just Maya by itself. Brahman by itself has no arms or legs, so there is no other, there is nothing. It's only from the standpoint of Maya, which has consciousness as its adhishtana, that we have this creation. So these two terms, nimitta karanam, is really Ishwara, Maya plus the Brahman plus the Maya Upadhi, that is Ishwara. We can say when it's in samavasta. Samavasta means it's in the sattva, rajas, and tamas that make up the maya is in unmanifest condition. The sattva, rajas, and tamas are just an equal number there. They're just in unmanifest condition. And so Brahman with maya is what we call Ishwara. when Ishvara manifests, comes to manifest, it gets different names. When it first comes in, when it manifests in just the most subtle world, it's called Hiranyagarbha. When it fully manifests in the physical world, it's called Virat. And so these names, we went through it in Tattva Bodha, we're going to be going through all of these names again. Okay, so why I'm saying all of this is because you have Maya Bimbaha, which is consciousness, that one that is reflected in the consciousness. The consciousness which is reflected in Maya is the Maya Bimba. Okay? The Sat-Chit that is reflected in the Maya is called the Maya Bimba. That Sat-Chit reflected in the Maya is what we call Ishvara. Having that Maya under its control, right? It's called Sarvajnaha, the one who has all knowledge, and that one is Ishvara. Okay. So, good. Yeah. Teacher training. I hope it's clear. Okay. Now let's look at the Kadana Sharira. So, or the Jiva. Okay. So repeat after me. Avidya.
Avidya.
Vashakaha.
Vashakaha.
Two.
Two.
Anyaha.
Anyaha.
Tet. By Chitriyat, Anekadha, Sa, Karana Shariram, Syat, Prajnyaha, Tatra,
Abhimanavan.
So here it says, with the Avidya Vashagaha to Anyaha. It says Anyaha means the other one. The other one is the jiva. We have the Ishvara and the jiva. So the jiva is the one who is, it's our two, whereas, separated it from Ishvara. Whereas the other one means the jiva is avidya vashikaha. Means the other one, the jiva, is under the spell or under the control of avidya. In other words, it can't get out of avidya. Right? What is, just by being that upadhi alone within the maya, total maya upadhi as a jiva, limited body, mind, sense organs, it's limited, the sattva is limited by rajas and tamas, and so it doesn't have that pure sattva without any identification with anything else. You're born with a sattva as part of rajas and tamas, so the identification is built in, right? So it's contaminated as though mixed with the sattva and rajas. So that, because of that, the jiva is, in a sense, in the hands of avidya. Right? And actually, because avidya, or ignorance, is not available, the self-ignorance, it's not ignorance out here, the self-ignorance is not available for your pramanas, for your means of knowledge. Just like the self is not objectifiable, the ignorance of the self is not objectifiable either. Because it's self-ignorance. And so there's nothing you can really do about that ignorance except become a mumukshu and gain access to a pramana that is not attached to you, you know, that can hold up a mirror to yourself. And the reason that there can be a pramana and that there is a pramana like that is because you are self-evident. You don't need a pramana to be. We talked about this the other day. You don't need a means of knowledge to make you recognize that you're there. Like everything else does. How would I know? How would I know that you're all here, or that wall is there, or that wall hanging is there? How would I know? It's not self-evident, you know, for me to know that. I need a pramana to light that up, to form a vritti that then I illumine. I am the consciousness which allows that to be known. That means it has to come into my consciousness. It doesn't have its own consciousness. You know, and even if it did, how would that help me? You know, because it's over there. Right? So there is no way to illumine the subject that is the luminary, the very luminary for all of the pramanas that I use. They're all directed outward. And so because of that, I am under the spell and under the control of avidya. Because it's beginningless and it's part of the package. It's part of the package of the whole Maya Upadhi for all of the jivas. It's not like some jivas are under the spell of avidya. All jivas are under the spell of avidya, which makes the problem even worse because we're all the same in the avidya. So you're like you are and I'm like, and all the animals are like, we're all identified with the upadhis. It's not somebody saying, oh, we're not really these upadhis. Unless you come in contact with the teacher. You come in contact with the teacher because you're a mumukshu. So until you're a mumukshu, we're just these upadhis. That's what it is. And there's nothing to tell you otherwise, really. You can tell yourself otherwise as a belief in terms of a sukshma sharira that travels or that you go to heaven or hell, but that's because you have some shraddha in whatever shastra it is that you're attached to. You know, you may believe that you may go to heaven or hell or whatever all of these things are, that you may transmigrate. You don't have any proof of that either. You know, that's all, you take that on faith because you have shraddha in the shastra. How are you going to prove it? Somebody says, well, I've been there. The Buddha said, I've been there and I know that these different lokas exist. And who is going to believe him? Those who have shraddha in him. His devotees have shraddha in the words that he said because they knew that they had shraddha that he could have some experiences that they probably could have but were not able to have right now at this moment. That's how he was able to verify that there's something called karma. Not because he had shraddha in the Vedas. He didn't at all. But because he had some of those kind of experiences that made it clear to him that certain karmas and these kind of things did exist. And he passed that knowledge on to his students who had shraddha in his words. So he became the shabda pramana for things which they could not know. Right? And so here, for us just as humans, we are under the spell, we can say under the spell of avidya, the avarana of the maya, because we're a product of maya. Right? We come along with the creation. So we're under the spell, held in the hands of the avidya. And Ted by Chitriyat Anekada. And also because, this is from the commentary, it's kind of nice. Because of the difference in, so it's called Tadatamya, the difference in the way that the sattva, rajas, and tamas are split up. Like, for instance, the devas. They have a much stronger amount of a greater percentage of sattva than they do of rajas and tamas. And so their body, mind, sense organs are very, very subtle. As a deva, they have a lot of sattva shuddhi. They also have a lot of antakarana shuddhi, you know, because the rajas and tamas are not playing much of a part in the makeup of a deva. They're much more subtle. Then there's animals, tiryaks. For the tiryaks, have much more tamas, and rajas, and less sattva, right? Because they're all a bundle of energy, you know? It's not like they don't have sattva, but they're so physical. You know, they're so physical. So their energy and their activity and their embodiedness. So we say that there's less sattva and there's more rajas and tamas, just in terms of the components of the sharira, you know. And so what do you say with the human beings? And when we look at the human beings, we say that for human beings, there's rajas and tamas, but there's also a good amount of sattva, but there's going to be a mixing difference in the mixture of the sattva in terms of our antakarana. So you can have a person who has sattva predominant. That person's called a brahmana. If sattva predominant, rajas is below. You know, then a person could be rajas predominant, but sattva is the next one. Those are kshatriyas. You know, the vaishyas are considered tamas predominant, but then they have rajas. Is that right? Something like that. And then the shudras are more tamas predominant. I don't think they say don't say much more about that. But anyway, they break it up in some interesting way. And say there's all kinds of gradients or ways that we break this up that creates all kinds of different upadis. And even what they're saying here in the commentary, say if there's eight lokas up or seven lokas up and seven worlds up and seven worlds down, they're a different combination of sattva, rajas, tamas in terms of dominance and predominance and things like that. Even the animal upadis, the fish upadis. And so there's a tremendous, what we call vaichitriya. There's such a very variegated, you know, and diverse upadis among the jivas, right? So we just have to look at the humans alone. You know, we all enjoy the same blueprint. So I can say, yes, everybody in this room is a human. Yeah. Because even though we all look completely different, very different, but we all have the same also. So there's all of these different blueprints. There's dog blueprints and cat blueprints and countless blueprints. And of the blueprint, you know, so you have the cat species, but all of the cats look different. And so this is what we mean by very diverse and variegated. So everyone, just like the whole creation, that you can look, this whole creation, it's diverse and variegated. So many namarupas. So what he says is, these jivas, the other, for Ishwara we don't worry about that, because we don't think about it, because Ishwara is only one. And this is one upadi. But the jiva upadis are countless. They're very diverse, very variegated, you know. And so he says that vaichitriya and nekata, they're manifold because they're so different. All of them are so different, and there's not just one of them. And so then he says, this avidya, this jiva that's under the spell of avidya, that avidya for the jiva is called the karana sharira, the causal body. And syat, and that which is the causal body is called prajñaha. Then he says, tatra abhimanavan. That is where it is in that prajña where the abhimana is for what we call the prajña. So let me just put this back in order. We have names. When we have names for the jiva and for Ishwara, okay? When we have just the Brahman plus the Maya Upadi in unmanifest condition, the Karana Sharira, causal body. So Maya, in its unmanifest condition, where the Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas are in Samavasta, means they're not manifest at all. So you have Brahman plus Maya. From the standpoint of the total, that Brahman with the Maya, unmanifest Maya, we call Ishwara. From the standpoint, and Ishwara is called Sarvajñaha, the one who is all knowledge. Okay? The name for the jiva, when we look at the jiva who is within Ishwara, part of Ishwara, when we look at the jiva, then we have that Brahman plus Maya, the Karana Sharira, with the Abhimana, a point of identification with that, Karana Sharira, is what we call Prajna. So prajna, let me just make sure I got it. So that prajna is the name for the jiva in that condition of karana sharira, right? So nothing is manifest. So now I just have to, what time is it? We've got about 10 minutes to explain this. Yes. Okay. All the way through from the Karana Sharira to the Sukshma Sharira to the Stula Sharira, we have the Ishwara and the names for Ishwara from the Karana, Sukshma, and Stula Shariras. We have a name for Ishwara, and we also have a name for the Jiva. And they're going to be very much related to each other, these names, okay? And so here, just to give you the names from the Karana, then we'll see. The one I'm concerned we're wanting to talk about right now is Prajna. But just to know these names. So Brahman plus Maya makes the without manifestation is the causal body, the Karana Sharira. From the standpoint of the total upadi, which we'll have names for that later, the total upadi, we call that Ishwara. And the jiva upadi, we call it Prajna. Okay. So the jiva's name is Prajna, the Karana Sharira, causal body, and Ishwara's name is Ishwara. Okay. Brahman plus Maya is Ishwara from the Samishti, from the total. So you have Ishwara, Prajna. When the creation comes into manifestation in terms of its subtle form, then we have for Ishwara, Hiranyagarbha. That's the name for the subtle total upadi. And for the jiva, it's Taijasa. That's the name. We'll see these names in a bit, probably next class. And then we go to the physical. Then we have Virat for Ishwara and Vishwa for the jiva. So Virat and Vishwa are very related. Hiranyagarbha and Taijasa, related. And the Ishwara, who is Sarvajnaha, is in the limited form of the jiva, is called Prajnaha. So now, this is the relationship between these two. For Ishwara in unmanifest condition, all knowledge is there in Ishwara in unmanifest condition. Okay. It just has to come out, but it's all there. Like if I ask you something like, you know, what is where you're living at home, what does that house look like? Boom, it's there. It comes into manifestation because that's in your knowledge bank. So actually, as jivas, we have a huge knowledge bank, but it doesn't compare to Ishwara's. But that the 99.999% of our knowledge bank is right now in unmanifest condition. The only thing that's manifest is what we need right now. But there's so much more that you can draw on. That is all in causal condition. Okay? So if we look at the jiva in causal condition and Ishwara in causal condition, Ishwara is Sarvajnaha, the one who has all knowledge. And the one from whom the whole creation comes and the whole creation is known. That's why Sarvajnaha. The jiva is called Prajnaha. Prajnaha is the one who also has not all knowledge, but has in causal condition all of the knowledge that is available to the jiva, which is limited knowledge, but it's all the knowledge that is available to the jiva when the jiva comes into manifestation. So, for instance, if we say that for you, like when you go to bed, you go into deep sleep first, and then from deep sleep, you come into dream. You go into deep sleep, then you come into dream. Then you can go back into deep sleep, and then you can wake up. Or you can go from the dream to waking up. But then you go into deep sleep, then you come into the dream. Now, when you were in deep sleep, the material that you used for the dream was in unmanifest condition. That was all unmanifest in the Karana Sharira. Now it comes into manifestation. Okay? So that belongs to the Prajna. The Prajna is the one who is in fact the knower, and I mean knower, because of the Ajnanam, where you take yourself to be a knower. The knower of all that takes place in the dream state, as Taijasa, and all that takes place in the waking state as Vishwa. And so Prajna, as opposed to Ishwara being Sarvajnaha, Prajna is the one who is holding all of the knowledge and all of the experiences of the jiva, and so has a lot of knowledge. So Prajna doesn't just mean total Ajnanam, it means all knowledge of the jiva, you, in that causal condition. And it is the Prajna that becomes the dreamer, and the Prajna becomes the waker, whereas Ishwara becomes Hiranyagarbha, Sarvajnatvam, the whole Ishwara. What is Ishwara? Brahman plus Maya. This Maya in unmanifest condition. So that Brahman with Maya becomes, now it's just all knowledge in causal condition, it becomes Hiranyagarbha. And Hiranyagarbha, now there's all kinds of diversity. The Samishti, subtle body. And that same Ishwara then also becomes Virat. means now it's not just the subtle body as Hiranyagarbha, but it becomes a whole physical upadi, all knowledge. Right? But there's all knowledge as the physical upadi, you know, the stula sharira, the sameshti, total stula sharira. There's all knowledge as Hiranyagarbha, you know, the subtle stula, the sukshma sharira. And there is all knowledge as Ishvara, they're abiding in unmanifest condition to come out as it's necessary. Infinite knowledge. You also have that, but in limited form. Much more than you're aware of is much more in your unconscious or in your in the kanana hanging out there in the kanana sharira than you can possibly be aware of, your lifetimes of it, you know, and that, and so. So how to translate that? You certainly can't say all knowledge. You have to say that the prajna is the one who becomes the knower in the waking state, in the dream state, in the waking state, who has more or less knowledge. And another thing to understand, this is another thing they say about prajna. When the upadis are in the unmanifest condition in the karana sharira, right? Then they'll say, like with the prajna is the one who is closest to yourself. Because in prajna, there is no dvaita. There is no duality. There is no experience. There's just ajnanam there. There's no experience of the creation at all. So I simply am, the Satchitatma, I simply am. And then that ajnanam is like the causal condition of everything else, which is now not being experienced at all. Yeah. And so that means just myself, my own being, is who I am. That's the closest I can be. It's the closest I can be to myself. Because the whole creation is, of all this manifest diversity, is not there to be experienced, so I simply am myself. Now when I wake up into the waking state or the dream state, so the waking state, you know, then all I can do as a waker is remember back to the unconscious, that unconscious condition of my antakarana. I don't say that, oh, I, the Atma, you know, the Atma, I just got to be myself, because I don't know how to say that. I don't have that knowledge. And so I just remember I didn't know anything. Because there's ajnanam there, means your ahankara is totally identified, that abhimana is totally identified with the upadis. But if you look at it like from Ishwara's, or from the standpoint of Brahman, or the standpoint of the reality, at that time the jiva is just, the jiva to him is totally in unmanifest condition, and there is no experience of duality at all. So what is it like for Brahman? Then you know, I'm just myself without any duality. And what is Brahman like? I am myself without any duality. So the ajnanam isn't causing much problem at all to your being. It's just that there's unknownness included in that experience. So these are just some interesting things that are said about the prajna. I'll try to say a little bit more about it next class. Okay. So this takes us through what they've done now is really remember that we're talking about the prakriti, right? And that prakriti is twofold. Prakriti is another name for Maya. That prakriti is twofold. You know? One is Ishvara, one is Jiva. Is Ishvara, what makes Ishvara Ishvara is the sattva shuddhi that's not contaminated by rajas and tamas. So the whole sattva that provides the whole creation is known. That means I am all knowledge. Because there's nothing that's not known. As Ishvara, I'm all knowledge. There's no ajnanam. But for the jiva, as being part and limited by the tamas and rajas, I'm not all knowledge. I'm limited knowledge. Because my sattva, the sattva, that which reflects consciousness, doesn't go through the whole my upadi. It's stuck in the sukshma sharira of the jiva. And the stool and the body of the jiva. So that creates limitation. I'm limited by my sense organs, limited by my mind, limited by the physical body in terms of the experiences that are available to me. From the standpoint of Atma, I'm the same, but from the standpoint of the upadi, I'm just a little speck of Ishwara, you know, with limited knowledge. Om
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.